A More Beautiful Life is a listener-supported show. You can learn more about the benefits you receive from your support, such as access to other courses, special access to tools, blogs, and skills through our Patreon channel, patreon.com/amorebeautifullife. Hello, you are listening to A More Beautiful Life podcast, recognizing, appreciating, and integrating earliest life experiences. My name is Kate White, and I created this podcast because of my passion for my work as a therapist and an educator in preventing and resolving earliest trauma. I believe that integrating our earliest experiences brings us closer to who we really are. On the show, I will be having discussions with others on the path who have explored healing our earliest experiences in life, or who, in my opinion, have found ways to live a more beautiful life. Today on the show, we have Fabiola Cortez Funes de Oquiro. She has a master's degree in marriage and family counseling. And she's the director of psychodrama and group therapy, an expert in psycho-oncology and palliative care. She's trained as a hypnotherapist, a doula, and she has a master's degree in breastfeeding, biodynamic craniopsychotherapy, and she's been a part of Castellino training. She's a somatic blueprint family practitioner and a clinical supervisor for the FEAP, European Federation of Association of Psychotherapy. She's a teacher of different programs and postgraduate programs. She assists and organizes international conferences and congresses. She's been in private practice in psychology since 1995. She's now working on her own project called 908 Grams for supporting families going through prematurity. She started her career studying psychology, and that's when she did her master's degree in family therapy. And she worked in the oncology unit as a psycho-oncologist, where she contacted life, death, illness, and medical environment. At that time, psycho-oncology was beginning, and there weren't many psychologists there in the hospital. She worked there for 17 years until she began exploring this new field, pre- and perinatal psychology. She's married and has two boys, and she loves being able to be a part of families in difficult moments. In this talk, she talks about her life, understanding pre- and perinatal imprints, especially the imprints from being a premature baby. And she tells us about the baby's experiences and has messages for parents, for people who have this imprint, and for professionals. And hello, Fabiola, so great to have you on the show. Welcome.
Hello, Kate. Hello.
Yeah, I'm really glad that you took some time to talk with us today about your experiences and your life. We're colleagues, we're trained by the same people to understand early pre- and perinatal experiences. So I know you, but I'm wondering if you could just say a few words about yourself and how you found this work, pre- and perinatal healing.
Okay, so thank you so much for inviting me here. It's a great honor to speak with you and speak in this space. I'm happy to share some things, no? And if this can help somebody, it will be so great for me. How I arrived to this work, that was a question. Well, I'm a psychologist, and I've been working as a psychologist for 25 years. And it, like 10 years ago, I think it was in 2011 or 2012, I was in working in a general hospital in the oncology unit, and I was not so happy there because I was a little tired of that. And somebody told me, came to do a process workshop, a womb surrounded process with her, and I know nothing about this work at that time. I was family therapist, and I was working in oncology. I was working with death, and I was very happy doing therapy with people and with families. But I knew very few things about pre and perinatal psychology. So I went to this workshop that was run in Spain in Zaragoza, and it was done by Tara, mm-hmm. Tara Blasco, and I was there with no big objectives there or wanderings. And when they asked me about my intention, it was like I would like to know what is my relation with the hospital where I've been working for 16 years at that time, and I'm not happy working there any longer, but I don't know how to go out, I don't know how to quit, I don't know how to change the place. So well, I want to know something about my relation to the hospital. And during that work, I find out that has to do a lot with my early life, with my mm-hmm. after my birth, and how I was in the hospital when I was after birth, I was there, and how I was discharged from the hospital. Mm-hmm. And well, perhaps after I can tell you some more about this. But mm-hmm. when I realized that, it was like, oh, what? This has to yeah. do with my birth, or with something that happened when I was like 2 months old. I don't believe this, but it's not that you believe it or you don't believe it. It's like you feel it in your body, and you realize that that's true, that something like inside you says, yes, that has to do with that. Mm-hmm. So we did all the work in the turn, like changing things and putting things in a way that was, you know, that was good for me, where I can have some more choice, and that I can leave the hospital in a way that somebody was waiting for me. So we had some things that weren't there at the beginning. And it was so great when I went back to Madrid, that is where I live. Like I was able to leave the hospital like in 2 months. It was so easy. After that, it was like, okay, I had it clear that which was the way, you know, and how can I do the things in an easiest way.
Wow, I'd like to track that journey just a little bit closely, but I know you've told me this story before, and I remember you saying that you wanted to quit your job there at the oncology mm-hmm. department, and you were finding it hard to do, right? There's something that kept you there.
Yeah, it was like really, really strange. I was working there. There were a lot of things about the work that were okay with me. Mm-hmm. It was comfortable in the hospital. It was like so familiar to me. I was mm-hmm. able to go and come, and I was so able to read what was happening in the hospital. I was understanding the like all the staff, and mm-hmm. I was able to stay with people, going with them in their journeys during the illness. Mm-hmm. I was so comfortable working with, even with death. Mm-hmm. It was okay for me. Some challenging parts, but not that difficult. But there was something about being tired and not something about this is not my place. I'm a psychologist, and even if I can work in a hospital, this is not my place for my whole life. Okay. It has been good to be here, but not, I don't want it any longer. Mm-hmm. But the messages were, no, it's okay. How are you going to quit? You're not able to live out from here. You're not going to find out anything that can sustain you outside. Mm-hmm. It's very difficult, the life outside. Like the messages were those, and it's like, so I was believing them.
Wow. So a very difficult life outside the hospital.
Yeah.
And I think
that's possible.
So this is when Tara Blasco, who works with Ray Castellino and Mary Jackson, they're doing process group, womb surround process there in Spain.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And then you found that there was a training starting. Did you go in? Yeah. So
after that, I began the training after the surgery.
Well, I think it would be really good for our listeners to describe the training that we go through as practitioners. Mm-hmm. I mean, it is a pretty rigorous mm-hmm. and extensive experience. So I would love to hear your experience, and I'll talk a little bit about mine, and then we'll talk about your story. Yeah.
No, the training was great. It was a lot of personal work. That is what I always value in a in a training. At that point, I have had like different training. I already was family therapist. I was hypnotherapist. So I had several therapists for myself already at that point.
Right.
So it was like okay, and so. Really, like it, I being able to connect with another training that was able to go deeper in my history and put things in a different way. The training goes like in a very current line that goes from the conception to the and from the healthy part. Building strategies and building skills like. For you to be able to go to some other levels where you can work with other parts, so it's like 8 modules. Now there are 9, but normally it's 8 modules, like 5 days each one. In each module, you can go through different parts of the conception of the. Pregnancy, birth, and different things that can become like imprints in your history, and how this can affect your history and yourself.
Yeah.
And how and of course the main thing is that you're training practitioners, so how you can work with this, not only with yourself but only with some others. And for me it was great, like all the somatic part or all the connection with the body, because as I'm a psychologist, that we tend more to go to the mind or to some other levels. Being able to connect with what was happening in my body, in my history, and in all my imprints, my memories, that was so impressive, you know, like so big.
Yeah, okay. Well, let's shift into talking a little bit about what you discovered about yourself. And I just want to name for those of you who are listening who don't really know about pre and perinatal training and healing, is as we come into form, as we come into relationship with our family lineages and our parents, and we form a body and become a baby. We come into relationship with a lot of experiences, and some of them are our mothers, some of them are the surround around us, some of them are our actual experiences prenatally, during birth, and after birth. And Ray has a way of talking about them as they come in and they start to stack, and they're implicit, they're in your body. And the world at large doesn't really understand that babies are having these experiences, but that's changing. I'm seeing more and more acceptance of babies and their experiences and their intelligence and their supersentience. And so I feel like Ray Castellino has really created a mastery, you know, with his recognition of pattern, slowing the pace, and allowing us to explore the different layers of our journey coming into form and how that shows up in our bodies and in our psyches, spiritually, even mentally, and then how we make relationship with our lives. And many times what I feel is that we live in our imprint, or we think that we are that imprint, when actually we're so much more. So Fabiola, your story is so touching, because I think that when you told me the first time, the way you've made sense of it, I think is what moved me so much, and how you connected all these dots. So why don't you, as you feel led, how would you tell a story to someone listening? They're primed to know now that these experiences really matter. So how would you start?
Well, I don't know I don't know where to start, because I don't know. Perhaps I can say that, if I can speak one word from my father and one from my mother, I think my father, that he's a doctor, he one of the things that you can say about him is that he's always in a rush. Like he's always like going forward quickly, and he wants always to go like faster. So that was something that was there for him and for the rest of the people around him. And my mother was more like insecure or like there. No? So from these two, that they are much more than that, but that are two things that for me were important. Mm-hmm. It was there, and well, so during the pregnancy, something happened, and I think the environment was not so good for me, and I think it was not so healthy for me being there. Perhaps some toxics or some things were happening there.
In your mom, when you were in your mom.
Yes, during my in womb life.
Right.
So something happened, and I decide or whatever to go out, and this was like 28th week. So yeah. This was very, very early. It was premature. So the things that was happening there, or people were saying, it's too early, it's too dangerous, it's too difficult, and it's not possible. You are going to die, or life is not possible with this. It's too early.
Yeah, let's call a pause for a moment.
Yeah, of course. Thank you.
Yeah, I just I just want to reflect and just name that people were feeling that and saying that for you as you were being born and just after you were born. Is that right?
Yeah. You see, I thought it was there, you know, like there in the outside, or and that was a message that my mother and I were receiving, you know, that don't do it now and this is not possible, like a lot of fear of death and fear of everything, no? And I think this was very big for my mother, like all the fear that was around, and she was able to feel all this fear.
Yeah, wow. I'm just appreciating that you made it. That was quite a big experience to make a decision to leave and come in so early with so much stress. The life death threat. So I hear that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So at that point, there were also like all these numbers and things, you know, like too early and too small. And my weight was like 900 grams, that is like less than 2 pounds. So it was like really, really small. Right. They used to compare my weight with some meat or whatever, not like it's less than this.
Wow. But yeah, that is the theme of prematurity, too early, too small, too soon, I think, is what the people often talk about. Prematurity is too soon and too small. So what happened next?
So after that, just during the birth, it was everything like so urgent and so fast, so they call a priest. So because as I was going to die, they want to baptize me. And so this person appears in that place, and the way I realized this through all the work we've done, it's like you can feel it. No? So I can tell this because some things were told to me when I was little in the family, but some part is like I was able to feel that.
Yeah. What did that feel like to have a priest come in the space? What was that like?
For me, it was like, okay, so that somebody with the present was there. Somebody that arrives that has no fear. He was there and he was, okay, it's okay for me. It's okay. This baby is here, and he was able to see me and to really look at me. And I think he did something that was wonderful, that was asking my mother, who nobody was speaking to her really, like asking her, what is the name you choose for this baby? So he really did the connection, no? Like between her and me.
Well, I just want to, again, just slow down. What touched me so was to hear how there was somebody there with no fear. So you could feel this is a qualitatively different energy. Yeah. And he could really see you.
Yeah.
And really asked for there to be a recognition that you are someone, you are a person. Mm-hmm. And what is your name?
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
It's great. And making that connection, no, between my mother and me, like giving her the importance, no, like the person who has to decide something about this baby is the mother. It's like, it's the only one here that needs to speak. It's not the doctors that need to say what is happening. It's like, she's the one who is going to give her the identity or her identity. No? And is the one that is going to name her through him, but. So I think that was great for both of us, not for my mother and for me.
Yeah.
And
did she name you then?
Yeah, she gave me her name.
Wow. Fabiola. Yeah,
so she said, okay, Fabiola, like me. No, like me. I think that was the moment, the only moment where it was like she was able to give me something.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like giving me like her life in a way, you know, like herself.
Wow.
It was like, well, I give you my identity or my name, so I give you me in a way, you know.
Wow. Was it helpful for you?
Yes, I think that was a big moment for connection, no, for us to connect. After that, I think the connection was really difficult for the rest of our lives.
Right. Well, I love this feeling of connection, because I'm hearing that that's what premature babies really need, with their mothers especially.
Yeah, completely.
Yeah.
So, and this presence, like somebody with no fear, and he was in presence. No, he was there. He was, and perhaps that was like 2 minutes, so I don't know, I don't think this was very long, so you don't need a lot of time to do this.
Okay.
So
Well, so what happened next?
Next, I think that they took me to the incubator, and that another part of my life began there. Like a big separation, isolation. And also like being in a protected space, like, well, in a box. I was like in a crystal box.
Right.
And I think that, well, different things happened there, many, many things. And over there, I think I learn how to connect, no? How to connect with environment, or how to connect with the human being, or whatever, and how to connect with technology also, because technology was there.
Yeah. So how was it to connect with the people? Were you able just to feel the others in the space, or tell us more about that?
I think that, well, from what I can realize in me nowadays, I think I'm so good, like, in reading what happened in the hospital. It's like, that was why I was working there for so long. It was so familiar.
Yeah.
I know what doctors think, what nurses feel, everything that is happening is like, okay, I know, I know how they feel, because that was my first learning, like, hospital rhythm and hospital hierarchy and all these things.
So yeah, it's like a gift. It got like a gift in a way, like you had a window into the hospital. And
and the good thing I had over there also was that my father was able to touch me. because as he was a doctor, he's a doctor,
Ah.
he was working there.
Mm-hmm.
So he was able to come and to touch me.
Mm-hmm.
At, during that time, parents weren't allowed in the NICU.
Mm-hmm.
They were all able only to see you through a glass or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't like nowadays that you can do some contact or some skin to skin.
Yeah.
But my father did it because he was a doctor and he said, I want to go there, and he did it. So my touch with him was increasing during that time, because I was feeling him, and so that was another thing that was good for me. And I think I developed like a real ability also to dissociate from my body, because it was not easy to be there. I imagine there was a lot of pain, because I can recognize in different parts of my body like different difficult things that were happening and interventions.
Mm. Right. Is there anything more you'd like to say about that from the baby's perspective? Because there's a lot of people out here, moms, dads, staff, that might be interested in knowing what your experience was, and if you had any words to share about how they can better prepare to be with a premature baby like yourself.
For the parents.
Mm.
So now you want me to tell something for the parents?
No, well, I'm wanting to know more about your experience, I would love if there's more of your story you want to tell, but I do want to hear your experience, because when people hear like, oh, there are interventions, like I know that the premature babies have an average of 60, well, I think 65 or 69 interventions a day in the NICU. So that's a lot for anybody, much less someone who's so new and small.
There are different good things.
Okay.
Nowadays, things are much different. And so they are taking much more care about all these things.
Mm.
And nowadays, they try to do things in a different way. They try to find out how the baby is doing before the interventions that before didn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
And another thing is that I think the baby has an ability to dissociate. It's a good mechanism. It's okay.
Yeah.
You are used to that, and so you go someplace else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Preferably not too far away, but
so
you leave your body there, and you came back later.
Yeah. The scientists have a name for that. It's called the blunted parasympathetic response.
Okay.
When I talk to the researchers.
Yeah. Okay, great. That was what I did several times a day.
Well, good for your nervous system to protect you there. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes, and that's it. And also, I think, after that, the thing is that you have to manage what pain is, because after that you don't know really very well what pain is.
Mm-hmm.
So as you're children,
mm-hmm.
Some things is like that it hurts. It's like not really. What are you speaking about? This is not hurting. So then you have to become a human being again.
Yeah. So your relationship with pain is one of, you have a huge experience with it, as opposed to what someone who doesn't, have your prematurity experience imprint. So you have a really a bigger, wider, deeper relationship with pain. That's what I'm hearing.
Yeah, I think that after that you have to balance and to go back to your body and to do some work with you, and some work in that coming back and like really incarnate your own body.
Mm-hmm.
And because it's not only pain, it's the way you relate with your body.
Mm-hmm.
For example, with that part, for me it was a big challenge, like all the muscles, all the moving. When I was a children, I was seen like very lazy. It was not laziness. It was like hypotonic
Sloppy,
it was a lot of things happening, and like moving myself was a big challenge.
Yeah, that's an imprint for the baby, because you should be still in the amnion with all the fluid. Your relationship with gravity is probably a lot different than someone who's been born full term. Exactly, yeah. Right.
So after and sometimes when I was asked to do some, I don't know, running or whatever, that was an effort. The memories arrive, and it was like my heart beating so fast, and it was an imprint completely.
Can I call a pause there too?
Thank you.
Yeah, just take a moment and
completely
feel your seat and feet. And for me too, and I want people out there to really have it sink in, you know, just to be in relationship with movement. Was triggering is what I'm hearing, because it was so hard back then. And it's true. I mean, your body and your nervous system is not ready to be in relationship with gravity the way we all are. And even a newborn has a hard time with it. So much less somebody who is 28 weeks, you know, gestation. So I'm appreciating the truth of what you're saying.
Yeah. And even breathing, sometimes, breathing. And when I was little, I was having these experiences about running and feeling the oxygen, like burning myself inside. And for a long time, I had no way of naming that. Because it was like, what is happening?
So studying pre and perinatal patterns helped you with have language for your experience.
Yes, it was like, okay, that is what happened to me. It's an imprint. It's not that my lungs are not functioning nowadays. Mm-hmm. It's not that I'm not able to run or I'm not able to do some exercise. Mm-hmm. It's that sometimes my body get confused and...
mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a memory, and it rises up because it wants to be healed. Something is... The conditions are ripe for it to rise up to be seen and felt. It can be very confusing, no matter who you are, to have an imprint rise without knowing the context and what to do with it. So, wow. So you lived with that a long time before you met Ray Castellino.
Completely, completely. And it makes a lot of sense, and it's okay. So now I can do things in a different way, you know, like doing it in a different rhythm and respect my body and like take a lot of care of it, you know, and being a professional with this, it's like, okay, now I can do a lot of things with my memories, you know, because it's like I have so much information inside myself that I can help somebody else, no? I can recognize them, and I can help somebody else.
Yeah, you can recognize them because you've worked with them and you know how to be with them. And that's even that very first step of recognition and the capacity to be with the sensations of the memory. That's a skill. That
that's not easy. It's not always easy.
No, because you think it's real, but it feels very real. There might be something very real in the moment too, like like oxygen. It is, if I breathe hard and I run fast, it does. There's a sensations in my lungs. Yeah. So, Well, are there any other experiences from that time that you want to talk about before we shift into messages for others and complete? But
Yes, there was something else. Also another good part. Uh-huh. I always like to put the good part. No, but feeling inside the incubator was ambivalent, but in a way it was good, because I was feeling like really protected.
Really protected.
Africa, in that place. Mm-hmm. It's like I don't have, yes, it's like I didn't have the womb, but I have the glass. Uh-huh. So during my life, I've been feeling myself so protected behind some glasses. Like for a long time, I was using glasses mm-hmm. to, and it was okay for me, like wearing glasses because it was behind the glass.
Wow. So
I was there behind my glass.
So do you don't wear glasses anymore? Do you have eye contacts?
No. After my craniosacral training, I took off my glasses.
Wow, you healed your vision. Wow. What a story.
Yeah. And that in different places, I always, like, when I'm in the car, it's like, oh, I feel so well inside the car. It's okay. Mm-hmm. I'm here. I'm in this place. Mm-hmm. Where I can feel that things are happening outside, but they're not going to come inside. So perhaps it could also be a strategy, like for parents, you know, like probably kids will feel safe in a tiny place, inside some place that contents them, mm-hmm. where they can receive things. Even eating inside the places, it's like, okay, here I can do things in a safe way.
Yes, because it's your space. It's your protected space. I got it.
Yeah, and I can remember even some fantasies I used to have when I was at school. Mm-hmm. In school, it was like life was not very easy for me, mm-hmm. and I was like thinking, oh, I would love to have the like these telephone boxes, like that they are like crystal boxes. Uh-huh. So I was imagining myself in a telephone box, having everything inside. Like my food, my books, my things inside the telephone box.
And the ultimate tiny house.
Yeah, so it was like, sometimes I realized, oh, that was incubator I was missing.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah, really connecting all the points. That sounds beautiful. What way to make sense of your fantasies and your seeking, you know, you were seeking that felt sense of protection that you had. Or, you know, I got it. Wow.
And I'm very good making connection with people that are far away.
Mm-hmm. Ah, so that's why we're so connected.
But wow. I also realized that because, well, part of my family was living in Argentina because my father came from there. Mm-hmm. And I have like really good friends there. Mm-hmm. Even my first boyfriend was like far away, so it was like I think that was another ability I developed like very soon, like mm-hmm. being able to keep connection with mm-hmm. people far away, you know.
Well, you have a wonderful list of gifts from your early time.
Yeah,
let's see that, you know, the connection with your mother and the protection inside the box. And also the capacity to, you said when we first started, like to know what doctors think. I mean, I know that babies are super sentient, super sensitive, and you are probably reading everybody in the room. And so it was easy for you to work at the hospital as an adult because it was familiar and you had a lot of ease because you could recognize things. But also what I'm hearing is small spaces are comforting for you. Mm-hmm. And and that you can maintain relationships from a distance, because that's what really happened for you. Because mm-hmm. mothers go home and fathers go home, and sometimes they come visit, but sometimes they can't. So, mm-hmm. and you had it harder back then, because nowadays they even have NICUs that have rooming in, and mm-hmm. you don't. Parents can just stay there. So. Yeah, you're just a miracle, healthy miracle. Yeah. Well, is there more for the story?
Well, I think this is a good resume.
Okay. Mm. Yeah, there's the gifts of prematurity and the recognition. Oh, yes, of your body's capacity to have that dissociative state when needed, I'm sure. But I know that, like we were talking before, like in the United States, we have a big problem with prematurity, mm-hmm. and it's actually increasing, because I think because of the stress of our lives, our life, So I asked if you could just, what would you say to parents out there that are experiencing having a premature baby? What would you say to professionals as they work with premature babies? And what would you say to all those premature babies that are listening out there? Because perhaps somebody listening has an imprint like yours.
Yeah. Well, for parents, I would tell them, and for mothers, but also mothers and fathers, and I would tell them that keep connecting. It's like you have very, very different ways of connecting with your baby. As when the baby's in the womb, you connect with him or her, even if it's not really out. If the baby is not in the womb, but it's in some other hidden place that is not inside you, but it's inside some other place, keep connecting. Speak with him or with her, even if she's not there. Think about him or her. Send her messages. Like, I really believe in telepathy or like sending messages. It's really, I really feel them. So keep connecting. I think nowadays they don't do it, but when I was born, they used to tell parents, like, try not to connect because perhaps the baby is going to leave. But no.
Wow.
That's the message.
No, yeah.
It's the other way around.
Right.
Keep connecting.
Right.
Doesn't matter what happened with the baby. Keep connecting.
Okay, great. Yeah, we'll have to figure out some practices for some of them. A lot of my parents really do want to connect with their babies, but they have their own journey to take with being a parent and the loss of the experience of being pregnant all the way to a natural birth or you know, a birth of with a baby. So there's a whole parent journey. So it's good to remind them that this is it for health in the after. You know, after the baby there in the NICU, just continue to connect.
I think there's a good metaphor for that. Mm-hmm. It's like, imagine your baby just was born and was taking abroad. So you have to send them messages, emails, WhatsApps, letters, whatever. So he's abroad, but he's there.
So they're on imagine that they're on a road trip or taking a trip, and then you can just send them emails. What a good idea.
Yeah, so you have to keep connecting. You don't want to lose them. You want to know what is happening to them. Whatever you need to do to connect with them, do it. Mm-hmm. Write them something. Perhaps you can build the room or prepare something when they came back. So during that time, you're thinking in them. So keep connection with them in the way you like or you are able or you figure out or... I don't know, take 100 pictures when you are with them and put them in your house and look at I don't know, whatever.
Good. Those are great suggestions. Fantastic.
Because that energy arrives to the baby. Because the baby is like, that's the point. The baby is so sensitive that the baby knows what is happening. And the baby knows if the mother just quit or the father just give up, and that energy is not helping. It doesn't matter if the parents are sad. It's okay being sad. It's okay being, in some bad mood.
Having feelings, yeah.
Of course, but, it's okay. Well,
that's great for you to say, because a lot of parents do. They feel like, I had one parent recently tell me that she didn't feel like she would ever be herself again. And I said, well, you will find a new self, a new normal.
Yeah.
And that any parent, no matter who it is, has to probably find that new normal. So they feel bad having feelings around their premature baby. And I hear you saying, it's okay.
It's okay. That has nothing to do with connection. That has to do with feelings.
Yeah.
And you can connect even if you're upset. And you can connect even if you're feeling so badly. And you can connect to tell that, oh, I'm feeling so bad. And the baby would say, yes, I'm feeling so bad too. It's not Because the baby's going, yes, the baby's not going to take care of you, but.
But you can connect each other by sharing.
It's important in connection then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Got it. Beautiful.
And but another thing is people, the parents need to have some support. Not some, mm-hmm. need to have big support. Because
right.
this is a very stressful situation.
Right.
So they need tons of support. Mm-hmm. All the pounds the baby has not in his own body, parents need it in their own support.
Mm-hmm.
They need support. So find support where you can, in some other parents in the NICU, in the perhaps your family is not going to be the best support sometimes,
mm-hmm.
but I don't know, in a blog, in a web, in a podcast,
in this podcast.
Wherever yeah. you can find support, because you are not the only one that is in this situation.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I think our hospitals and our services can do a lot better for parents, creating places for them to gather and professionals to help them resource. And I do that here in our city. So, and many the premature babies, premature parents with premature babies come. They bring their babies if they need support after as well. So, yeah, good.
Yeah, I did that also here. I'm developing like a program to
Wonderful.
Help parents with that.
Great.
And, mm-hmm.
and
then for the professionals, it's like the message would be like, treat this baby as he's so delicate and so sensitive, that it's like working with this pressure material, no? That is
uh-huh.
so delicate.
Uh-huh.
So delicate, not because it's going to die, because that makes you full of fear. No, it's not because he's going to die. It's because he's alive and he's, uh-huh. he or she is, it's so sensitive that that he deserves this very special treat,
mm-hmm.
very special care, so
mm-hmm.
delicate, no, like
mm-hmm.
it's not that you need to be so specialized, but to be so delicate.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, it's different.
No,
it's different.
Yeah, I understand.
Mm-hmm.
And they're also really really sentient. They know what they know. So be able to actually talk with the premature baby and say, all right, now I'm going to do this procedure and tell them.
Completely. Like
preparation.
What
yeah.
is going to happen? It's okay for you because the baby is going to answer. It's
mm-hmm.
okay for you to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And perhaps there's a movement or there's an adjustment. Or, okay, we're going to do this, I'm going to count, whatever you do, but like, first prepare yourself to get in contact with this person, this little person, this big person that is there, and speak about what you're doing, and then go and do it, like, because, like, connection is so challenging, like, physical connection, and when you do any procedure, you are connecting with
mm-hmm.
the baby, and you're touching him or her, and you're doing something to his or her body.
Mm-hmm.
Do it with really, 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 I don't know, attention, no? Like really
mm-hmm.
good feelings. You know?
Mm-hmm.
There was
really,
some other, no?
Yeah, it was, yeah, parents, professionals, and
adults. That were preemie.
All adults that have the premature baby, like what kinds of things?
Or, no,
would...
or adults that were premature when they
yes.
were born. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
No, the thing is that, no, like any beginning that is different from for everybody, it's so unique that you can do a lot of things from it, even if it was hard or difficult or so challenging. It also has all these gifts over there, not like the gifts of the of the history or the difficult journey. Then you can have the pictures.
Yeah, so that I've really heard your gifts that you've discovered working on your imprints. So that is what I'm hearing you would wish for these adults out here that have an imprint like yours. Yeah, there are gifts. It's not all awful. There are good parts of it. Yeah. And how would they go about trying to find support for their imprints? It's just finding someone like Ray or Tara or Mary or myself or you. There are a lot of us out here who are trained. So
We're a lot, but we're not well known. I think that our work is not really already there, not like out there for people to look for it.
Right.
Sometimes it's difficult to do the connection. What is happening in my life can be related to what was there.
Yes. Well, that's why I'm doing this podcast, and that's why I really wanted you to come and tell your story, Fabiola. And I thank you so very much for coming and sharing yourself with us in this really important but vulnerable way. It's a real strength. I feel your strength and your capacity. So thank you.
Thank you.
Well, one of the final questions I have for you is what I ask everyone, which is what makes your life more beautiful?
Well, I think my life is more beautiful when I see my family, my husband, my two kids, my dog and my cat, this family of six. But also like when I work with babies, that makes me feel so great. When I can hold a baby in my hands and I can speak with him or with her and see him, and it's like, oh, I feel so good with that eye contact with them. It's like, oh, I feel so good there. No, I don't know, that makes me so happy when I work with families, but especially with the babies. No, and make the families like have this moment as a very like a precious moment, no? That is going to go so fast.
Yeah. I also love working with babies. It's definitely my calling. Well, thank you so much for your time today. And all right, to be continued, maybe we'll have you back another time.
Okay, thank you for this time. Awesome. Let me share my history.
It's beautiful, your sharing. You've been listening to A More Beautiful Life podcast. To support our show, please go to Patreon / A More Beautiful Life.